listening to National Rock Review.
Okay, boys and girls, this is Eric Morris with National Rock Review. I've got another great, big, wonderful guest to keep the tradition of bringing the up-and-comers, the legends of rock, if you will, and those who could be the greatest of all time. Yes, it's lofty praise, but the way things are going, my current guest might just get him and his band there at some point. With such lofty praise, who do I have on the phone with me tonight?
Lee Cicati with the band Pop Evil.
Excellent. You guys, from what the Metal Birdies are telling me, are busy, busy, busy. What do you guys got going on right now that's getting all the buzz?
Just nonstop touring. You know, we just had a new record drop last summer, and we're just on we're on our second single now with Ways to Get High, and just getting ready for this 2016 tour push. It's just going to be nonstop playing all year long.
Oh, okay, cool. What's the name of the album that came out over the summer?
The name of the album is called Up.
Oh, all right, cool. How many tracks are on the album?
There's a couple different versions. There's like 12 to 14, maybe.
Oh, so there must be like a deluxe version and all that good stuff?
Right.
Okay, cool.
Right, there's different versions of it.
All right, that's cool. How long did it take you guys from start to finish to get the album together and get it put out? Do you remember?
It was around 4 or 5 months, I think.
Is that about average for you guys when you're in the studio writing new material for another album, or by the sound of your voice, did it take a little longer than normal?
No, it's whatever it takes, you know. I mean, obviously, the longer we're able for us to do this, you know, the more time you get to take and spend on the music, you know. So we just feel like when it's right, obviously, there's a little bit of crunch, because when you're a rock band in today's era, you're not making money if you're not touring. So you have to kind of get back out there. You have to find that perfect medium, right? So you got to do that. You got to make it work for the band and push. But, you know, we were able to kind of stretch it out as long as we needed to. And get it dialed in, you know. So 5 months it didn't seem like it was too crazy, you know. I think we had it done in around 3, and then getting all the little nuances dialed in took about 2 months. So it was great, man. We had it ready for last summer, and kind of positioned us in the position we're at right now.
Okay, cool. With a Pop Evil song, is it one person does the majority of the writing and everybody else kind of fills in their parts towards the end, or do you guys sit down in a room or in the studio and from the very beginning until the very end it's all of you guys working together?
No, we all do it kind of separate, you know. The guys kind of write riffs, I write whole songs, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like getting my ideas out first and the guys getting their ideas out first, and then, you know, we kind of put that all together, and then you know, if we have an opportunity to really do it together as a five piece, you know, we just kind of let it be organic and natural. But it's kind of, sometimes it's a little harder than people would think to have five people sit in a room. There's a lot of people sitting around doing nothing, so we try to keep it a little more proactive and keep the vibe very positive and uplifting to let everyone get their ideas out is in a maximum amount of time. You know, obviously you're in the studio, it costs money, and you got to get your ideas out quick and painless. So we feel like every new record we're able to kind of master that process and make it more beneficial for everyone to get their ideas out.
Okay, cool. Now, is it correct that one of the big three auto companies has taken one of your songs and basically given you a buttload of airplay through one of their commercials?
Yeah, I mean, Ram Trucks has been so amazing. It's just incredible. They've just totally given us a platform to expose our music to a whole new audience, and, you know, we're definitely grateful. It's incredible, man. I mean, the support since the beginning of this record, it's kind of changed the game for the band, you know. And I leave you a note on that. Buy a Ram truck now.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. kind of leading in, you said earlier that you guys are out on the road and tonight you're actually in a very cold place if winter was actually winter. Are there any major plans leading into the festival season? Because I know you're scheduled to do at least Carolina Rebellion, which is a pretty awesome show to be a part of this year. Is there any big tour plans between now and then?
Yeah, we got the big tour we're doing with Disturbed and Rob Zombie. It's going to be an incredible run spring. We're doing just about every American festival that there is, rock festival that is anyways. And again, we're just getting out there exposing this new music to as many people as possible. And you know, it's the best time, man. Spring season in the music business is fun time, man. That's festival season. So we're all excited to be included in on all these great festivals. And Carolina Rebellion is definitely one of them that we're excited to get back to.
Cool. Have you gone out with either Rob Zombie or Disturbed before, or is this going to be a new experience for you guys?
We've done some one-off stuff and some festival stuff with them, you know, bits and pieces here and there, but we're big fans of Zombie and Disturbed, and you know, we're so excited to get the opportunity to share in an amazing tour. It's going to be one of the biggest rock tours of the spring, and you know, we're honored to be a part of it.
Okay, cool. Now, you were saying that, of course, there are expenses in being a band, and especially recording. Are you guys comfortable enough that if you wanted to, you could do everything from production to recording to mastering to the whole nine yards on your own in this kind of age of do-it-yourself? Or is it still pretty good for even a band with your popularity and size at this point to still have a record label behind you for help?
It's always good to get help. I mean, obviously, rock and roll is not a business now where you can just kind of have the luxury of having dollars behind you to get things done. It's a tough business, man, and everyone wants to cut corners and do things cheaper now, so it's harder to get that kind of attention, that creative attention that songs and music need to really grow and be nurtured. You know, instead it's get it done. Here's a little less money. We got to do this album for cheaper than we did the last one. And, you know, basically get lucky to, you know, hopefully we have good music in there. So it's so important to be aware of this. And, you know, when you do get help, in this case with a label, like you asked, it's important to take advantage of that and try to make it the best winning opportunity for both sides. Obviously, the business and the labels, you know, want to be successful too, and you want to have your labels win just as much as you want to win too. But sometimes that's easier said than done, so it's important to, when you do get those opportunities where money is required, like making a record, you try to make the most of those experiences. So something we try to get better at, and I think every band juggles that, you know, more and more as they continue to step up that ladder. So I think that, you know, it's important. It's just, it is what it is. You know, it's sometimes it's a necessary evil to the whole master plan, right?
Right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of guys that look at it that way. And I respect that a lot. With you were saying bands now in this kind of economy in the music industry, where if you're not out on tour, you're not making as much money as the bands in the heyday in the 80s and 90s were. Are you part of kind of the new wave where you're going to be selling VIP tickets or passes, however you want to look at it, to some of the shows to kind of not only help with some of that income, of course, but also in a way to get you guys closer to your fans? Or is that something you really haven't thought about on this tour?
No, we do the VIPs all the time. I mean, it's a necessary it's kind of a necessary thing to do now, not only for survival, but it's a great way to kind of put the fans that really want quality time with the whole band. I mean, the bigger your band gets, means the longer you're away from home, so the harder it is sometimes to get the band all together. Usually after the show, the guys go their separate ways. You know, some go to the hotel, some go get a shower, some go to rest, some go to call their families. You know, it's important to, when you do get the VIP experience, it's kind of on the, after the show, you're kind of on band members' time, right? So it's a great way to require band members to be at an event to be there for people, or if it's before, or for your fan base. Now, if it's before the show, it's another good thing too, because a lot of band members have, you know, a little certain trends or things that they do before the show, kind of things that they've developed over the years. And it's a great way to kind of showcase the fans that really do care and that want that extra time and they're willing to pay for it. It shows you that, wow, you know, like this needs to be treated respectfully rather than, you know, see people at a bar when you're drunk and there's just people are passing shots around. It's just, that's not quality time with your fans, you know. The VIPs have really let people be able to tell their stories. It's a chance for us to get to know them on a personal level where we can really see the impact that our music has had in people's lives. It's really unbelievable. I mean, the VIP, it's incredible just how powerful that thing is, not only for the fans, but for us as musicians.
Okay, cool. How long has Pop Evil been making music as a band, just out of curiosity?
1993.
Oh, wow. So you guys are almost the old geezers on the block.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but how about you look at it like we were the little babies that just got the guitars, man. So we were little, man. We got guitars and we started a band and had big dreams at the time. But, you know, coming out of Western Michigan was a big long shot at the time. So, you know, to come out from there and, you know, have all the pressure to try to get to move to Detroit, let alone New York and L.A., we just didn't have money for that, man. Like, we lived paycheck to paycheck and mooching off our parents, mooching off our friends, whoever would throw us a bone at the time. And, you know, it was just such a long shot that we'd be here. So, we, you know, it's pretty incredible, our story, how, you know, we've been an independent band to this day. We still do it with the biggest indie E1 and label in the biz with E1. And we just keep doing it our own way and keep, we're like the little band that could, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of adversity against us, but we just keep trying to rise against that and push the odds. And we're trying to do that by trying to write the best music we can and try to come up with the best melodies that make it, you know, catchier for people to listen to and sing, and hopefully bring those songs and make it easier for them to have those music relatable so they can be a part of their lives. Because when we were growing up in the Midwest, that's what we had, man. It was those melodic bands of the 90s, the insane inspirational bands of the 80s that got us through our work week. I mean, that, when we were in school, when we were everything from middle school to high school to college, I mean, those songs, man, were all we had, especially growing up in Michigan, man. I mean, there's the economy. I mean, the country knows the economy struggle that our state of Michigan has been through over the years, and it wasn't any better in the 80s and the 90s, you know. It was like, look, our parents were suffering, too, you know. So, you know, growing up with our family members, understanding that, well, this is our paycheck today, so you're not getting that this, you're not getting that, because it's important. But so, I'll tell you what I will get you, though, is that $5 CD or tape single, what it was, and you can have that. So that's what we had to get us through, and we understand that there's people today that, you know, live for their paycheck to go buy the latest music, and that's something that we can relate to, and we really try to hold ourselves responsible to do our part to make sure that, you know, maybe one day, you know, rock will be relevant in the way that we all want it to be, and, you know, hopefully we can be a band that helps steer things in that direction.
All right, cool. Now, we'll try to take it out since we just have a few minutes left. You've been around the block quite a bit as a band. You've seen the good, the high, the bad, the ugly, the lows. And I have to ask, just because this is a personal question that fascinates me with the bands that I get to talk to or the artists that I get to talk to, is there a moment thinking back where if you guys were sitting on the tour bus or you were sitting in the green room just shooting the shit with each other before going up on stage, and somebody brings up, hey, remember that night in Ypsilanti where such and such happened, or somebody just has to say a key phrase and everybody starts laughing. Is there that one Spinal Tap moment, that one memory that you'll never forget because it just makes you laugh every time you think about it, that you'd be willing to share with us?
Nah, there's not one. There's tons. You know, I think there's moments where they kind of like define a chapter. You know, I mean, one big chapter was going to record with coming out of my basement at the time. You know, I mean, I used to argue with my old band members that aren't playing today that they wanted to save money. We didn't have money, so they're like, why don't we just record our CD in our basement? And I would constantly fight the fact that, well, how many people have you met in your basement? Because I haven't met anybody in my basement. So, I mean, this business is all about business in life is about who you know and who you meet. So that was one chapter, right? That changed the game. So I lost a couple band members over it, but you know what? I took a big gamble and went a different direction, went out with decided that, hey, why can't we work with Kid Rock's producer, right? He was in Detroit. I mean, he needs money too, right? So decided to play covers because we didn't have money. So why don't we play covers and save all the money, and maybe we could get a real producer that could help us create a buzz. Got with a guy named Al Sutton out of Detroit. Game changed. Next thing, there was a chapter getting it to play at radio. Instead of having radio, going to radio saying, hey, you need to play this, you need to do this, you need this. I went to radio, I took a meeting with him and said, look, I'm not here to get you to play my music. I'm here to let you know that we're a local band in town that is willing to play any kind of show, covers, originals, whatever you need us to do. We'd love to open up for any nationals you want to bring in here. Or if you got a gig that's planned and you just want to have a party in town, we'll throw the covers for you. We'll put it on. So understood early on in my career that, look, what's in it for the other person before what's in it for you? And that changed the game. Next thing you know, we're on the radio, managers, now everyone's coming to you. Suddenly, instead of having to move and be a little fish now in a big pond, that pond was big enough where people were coming to my pond. That changed the game. So that was one thing in the early stages. And then there's all kinds of those chapters along this journey that when we sit down together as a band and those moments come up, whether it's a reflection, whether it's a show, whether it's another band that reminds us of, those are the war stories we share that kind of remind us that we still aren't where we want to be. There's still a lot of work we want to do, and remind us that this being a band isn't about the music. That's 1% of it. It's 100% to the fans, but 1% to really the people in the band. Being on a tour bus with your brothers is 100% of it, right? So it's about living your life. It's about learning how your families have to adopt and drop everything around you just so they can relate to your schedule. Like a musician, and anybody who's listening to this who is a musician knows, nothing about a musician's schedule is normal in the real world. So everybody else that lives in the real world have to change their life to adapt to your crazy schedule just so you can continue to live this dream. And the longer you get to do it, the more appreciation you have for those people that have given up everything for you to be here. So I think those more along the honest truth of where those stories are kind of talked about today with us anyways.
Okay. I think that is probably the deepest answer that I've gotten to that question. So that's kind of cool.
Sorry, man, but to be honest, there's nothing serious and fun about it anymore, man. That's what I think people like when people interview bands, rock bands, that's the thing that kind of frustrates me. It's like, oh yeah, we're all talking about all the good times we're having. Dude, it is work. Like, there's nothing fun about it like it used to be in that sense, right? It's fun because we're working harder. That's fun. Making great music because you worked harder and push yourself, that's the fun. Not beating out with groupies till 4 in the morning and trying to drink booze, we already did that. That didn't get us nothing. It's not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, the fun of it now is the mom and pop store, the Believe in Music, those little chains that, like, we're open 24/7, 7 days a week. Not like the pop acts and some of these other genres that, like, shoot, Adele comes out, she can do, she drops one song and doesn't have to tour ever on an album cycle. Like, think about that. That is crazy. I mean, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, I love Adele. She's amazing. But, like, think about that. And I'm supposed to be sitting here talking to any of you about how much fun I'm having, eating bologna sandwiches, and I'm about to have, could be 5 number one records. And people don't know who we are. It shows you it's time to work. Like, there's no fun story to be telling. I got nothing to brag about. It is work, man. Like, I'm ready to pull up my socks and go to war against LeBron James and Stephen Curry because those guys are on top of the game, but I'm still playing like a Detroit Pistons fan. And when people think about the Detroit Pistons, I can't even tell you one guy on the team, right? But I'm still working for that NBA championship, right? I'm still playing for that championship. So if you're talking to me and when I'm in season, like, I relate everything to sports. You're talking to me in season, like, what am I going to tell you? I'm drinking fucking Chardonnay. I'm drinking some wine. I'm having a good time with some Jägermeister. Hell no, man. I'm in season. I'm ready to win that trophy. And I got to freaking pound. What other bands aren't doing, that's what I got to do, right? That gets me excited. That's what's exciting. And people, when they interview me, they're always like, oh, this guy's fucking crazy, man. That's a fucking weirdo. But there's nothing lavish about the rock business like it was. You want to fucking get a cool story about some groupies hanging out, throwing out TV, then go fucking interview an 80s or 90s band, because maybe that's how it was. But for us, it's fucking bologna sandwiches, gotta go to Taco Bell,
because our partying is fucking $10 a day, not fucking $100 a day. Shit ain't easy, man. It ain't easy to do what you do. I talk all day about it, but I don't got no fucking cool story that everyone wants to hear. Work. I had to take a dump in a fucking shitty old fucking condo. I don't got a hotel room. Unless we want to pay for it. That's not on my rider. Green M&Ms ain't on my rider. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's time to work.
Excellent.
I'm telling you why I'm working. But my kids and those people coming up that think playing a guitar is playing Guitar Hero. That's sad. Like, that's playing a guitar because homeboy got a good score on his Guitar Hero. Kid doesn't even want to go buy a Les Paul. Like, when I was growing up, dude, Les Paul changed my life. I want to get it. And now these kids are like, I just want Guitar Hero. What's that going to do to our generation? Like, they're just going to program, like, now these programs, like, you don't even know. You just got to be smart on a computer. What about getting up in your garage and learning how to play an instrument? That is real. That is Midwest. That is fucking Michigan musicians. That's all it is. Like, I don't know what else to say. It just gets me fucking fired up. Because I've sacrificed everything. All my family's given up for me to be here so I can fucking throw down a party and take advantage of them. Hell no, there ain't no fun story. Bologna sandwich, you tasted one? Well, that tastes the same to me. It's fucking North Dakota Day. You know what I mean? That's the fucking fire. That's where it has to begin. That's why the album's called Up, right?
I love it.
About it. But that's the excitement. That gets me off nowadays. You know what I mean? Not the fucking groupie, not the booze, not the party. I want a fucking party. I want to live longer, man. Look at all these people. My idol, Scott Weiland, right there. One of my idols. I don't want to do that. I want to go down like that. But learn from these people's mistakes. Not about partying, man. It's about standing for something, man. What do you want to be remembered for? And I want to be remembered as a fucking fighter. That's it.
I love it. I love it. So that that begs me the question, are you a Spartan or are you a Wolverine?
I can't answer that. Because I got Michigan faithful, and I got Coach Dan Antonio, man, who brought me out to the Cotton Bowl, and he's playing footsteps in Sparty Stadium all season long and named their friggin' season Reach Higher. I don't go, man. I support all teams, man. You support Pop Evil, I'll roll with you. I do have my favorites, but I can't talk about it. I love sports, man. I love sports, and I love all Michigan sports teams. But I love the fun rivalry, but it's, man, they all support me, so I love it. ESPN's been great, too, and it's just amazing how many athletes now are letting me live my sports dreams through them, because any of my athlete friends always want to be rock stars, so every time they're around, they just want to grab the mic, just want to grab a guitar, and every time I'm around them, I'm just like, throw me the football, bro, put me in, coach, one play.
You have been listening to National Rock Review senior contributor Eric Morse speaking with Lee Cacati of Grand Rapids, Michigan-based Pop Evil. You can hear more interviews just like this at nationalrockreview.com.